Looking for gear, collectibles, houseware, and more from your favorite pop culture franchises? We've got you covered. Loot Crate offers a range of geek and gamer items for less than $20 a month. Want to bring your loot to the next level? Get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. If you're more the type to wear your geeky heart on your sleeve, then Lootware, our monthly wearables and accessories subscription, is the droid you're looking for. That chill running up your spine isn't your imagination. It's Loot Crate's October theme, horror. We're talking over 40 years of creepy, campy, bloody icons and putting them in this month's crate. Channel your best final girl with items from The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Halloween. You have until the 19th at 11 p.m. Central to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate.com/Shaw and enter our code Shaw, that's S-H-A-W, to save $3 off any new subscription today. Boo! Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm the Senior Digital Editor here at Pro Football Weekly. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. I am joined in studio by Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Expert JC Talon. You can find him on Twitter at JC_Talon. JC, how you doing today?
Doing well.
And joining us on the line, Arthur Arkish from Pro Football Weekly. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how you doing this week?
Outstanding. What's happening, gentlemen?
Well, we're feeling pretty good about fantasy this week. We're going to go game by game. That's what we do on this podcast. So let's get right to it. The Thursday night game, Arizona at San Francisco. Three and a half. Arizona's favored by 3.5 right now as of this taping. But news of Carson Palmer not going to play. Drew Stanton comes in. Guys, I'm excited about David Johnson, and that's about it. JC, anybody you like in this one?
Yeah, you know, if you watch the end of the game, you've got, well, you know, we're going to talk about Carolina also, and they might be without their quarterback. And if you saw Derek Anderson and Drew Stanton sub, Derek Anderson looked pretty competent and confident, and Drew Stanton looked anything but. In fact, the game got extended by a play, and I was watching with my father-in-law, and I said, it doesn't matter. This guy has just got nothing going on. Now, that was against a tough Ram defense. Maybe he was kind of thrown into the mix. But even with Carson Palmer, they didn't look great. If I felt a little better about the backup, I might feel like, well, maybe this will be a good thing, at least temporarily. But I tend to agree with you. David Johnson looks good. I think this takes down every one of the Cardinals receivers. I do like their DST. San Francisco can't get out of its own way on offense or defense.
Are there any love for Carlos Hyde in this one?
Not particularly. I mean, you're gonna play him if you have him, but he doesn't exactly excite me too much. But I will say, there's no question that Drew Stanton wasn't good at all last week. But I'm confident that he is going to be better, particularly after a week, albeit a short week of preparation. And I just have a feeling with Arizona in dire straits that Larry Fitzgerald is getting ready to put on his superhero cape and do some big time things. So he's the one other name that kind of jumps out at me here as a potential guy to kind of pick Cardinals up off the mat.
All right, let's move on to the next one then. Houston at Minnesota. 40 is the over under right now. Minnesota favored by 6.5. Two teams that have struggled on offense. Guys, what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins? He has almost half the targets he had through four games last year. Is this an Osweiler thing? Is this a Will Fuller thing, just taking up more of the market share? Arthur, what's going on in Houston?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't think it's time to panic just yet for Nuck owners, but maybe we should have saw some of this coming, and certainly I should have saw Will Fuller coming a little bit more. I didn't give him nearly enough credit in the offseason, but I think that is playing a part of it. Obviously, as Fuller gets more involved, the ball is getting spread around a little bit more, and we can't really call it a tough matchup. I don't think the Titans did anything special last week, so a team that can do something very, very special, obviously, is the Vikings, who've now shut down Odell Beckham Jr. and Calvin Benjamin in back-to-back weeks. So if DeAndre Hopkins is going to get right this week, I think he's going to struggle to do so. I actually have him in the 30s overall in my top 100 list this week.
JC, where do you have DeAndre Hopkins ranked this week?
Well, it's about my 25th receiver, between 20 and 25, depending on how some of these injuries pan out. It's a tough matchup for him. It's a tough matchup for Houston in general across the board. The Vikings defense is for real. I'm fortunate that I have them in two leagues, and I'd like to tell you I was a genius. It just happened to be the best defense that was available when I picked. In fact, I've actually sat them a couple times this week and this season and regretted it every time. This is a tough matchup. It's I would not panic if I had Hopkins, but I would not be excited about him this week.
One last note on this game. Two tight ends have finished in the top 12 in scoring all 4 weeks this season, guys. One is Greg Olsen. The other is Kyle Rudolph. He's a big part of that offense, especially since Adrian Peterson went down. So I like Rudolph if you've got him and you're struggling at tight end. Let's move on to the next one. Tennessee at Miami. 43.5 is the over-under. Miami favored by 3.5. DeMarco Murray and Jarvis Landry, and that's about it. JC, how about you?
Yeah, it's not a lot of fantasy goodness in this one, as you like to say. I did see a report today that Adam Gase plans on using the running backs a little differently, focusing more on a couple of the backs. Help me with his last name.
Ajayi.
It should be getting some more carries, but I'm not sure that it's just a question of touches as much as it is that offense is just not clicking. And Tennessee doesn't have much of an offense. There's just not a lot to like here. Obviously, you're going to play Landry. I suppose Tannehill, if you had somebody like Russell Wilson and you had to play him, he could put up reasonable points, but there's just not a lot to like here. Maybe Delanie Walker, but not a lot of options here.
I should throw in one more guy I like here, Devontae Parker. Tennessee has been strong against the run this year, but they are pretty weak against the pass. Their corners are graded pretty low on Pro Football Focus. Arthur, anybody you like in this one?
Not especially, not that it hasn't already been mentioned, but I should add, I think if I saw the report correctly, Arian Foster returned to practice this week. And if that's the case, that's, could obviously, mix up that backfield rotation in a big way. In other words, it could, relegate everyone else to the bench as they ride Arian again. So just keep an eye on his availability. I know Foster owners are anxious to get him back in the lineup. And actually, I thought Jay Ajayi looked okay last Thursday night, and it just seemed like Adam Gase was too committed to that running back by committee approach, and I would have liked to see him give Ajayi a little bit more run.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. This one could get interesting. New England at Cleveland. New England is favored by 10.5 with a 46.5 over-under. JC, I'm just going to leave this one up to you. Brady, Gronk. What do you expect out of Brady this week and Gronk now that Gronk appears to be playing more snaps and he gets his quarterback back? Yeah,
I would say, first off, I think that line might even go higher than it is. I would say from the Patriots' perspective, I think it's just hard to envision them not really playing well on offense. I mean, Tom Brady is nothing if he's not competitive, and they've just laid an egg last week, and I think they're really going to be fired up. And there's not much on the other side that can stop them. So I'm hard-pressed to come up with a scenario in which New England doesn't score at least 27, 30 points on the minimum side. I'm a little worried about Gronk. I do have him in a league. But this will be a telling week. Is Bennett going to continue to get, maybe 30, 40% of the tight end targets? I don't know. We'll see. I would certainly play Gronk. I would limit my expectations for him. Brady, the sky's the limit. I think Edelman now has more value than he had before. Now, Blunt, on the other hand, maybe, they go back. Belichick's going to drive fantasy owners crazy that have running backs on New England because you just never know. So some things are going to change, that's for sure. If you have Brady, I would recommend play him. That's my tip of the week.
Play Tom Brady. That's how you tune into this podcast.
I have him number one this
play
week.
Play Tom Brady. Yes. All right. Arthur, I'm going to ask you about a guy that I think you've been high on the past. Chris Hogan looked pretty good last week.
Yeah, he's been relatively quiet, I think, since early in the season, but he looked really good when he was hooking up with Tom Brady throughout the offseason and certainly in the preseason. So, yeah, he's a guy I had as kind of a sneaky waiver target this week towards the bottom of my nine-route column of the best waiver targets of the week. And I think everyone in that offense is going to get a boost, and Hogan is near the top of the list. James White, as JC just started to allude to, I think probably gets a little bit of a boost. And I will disagree. I don't even know if I'm playing Gronk right now until I see a reason to. I think Martellus Bennett is the tight end in that offense you want to focus on, and certainly Brady's going to be, you know, spreading the ball around. But I just, I don't know. Gronk doesn't look like Gronk. There was a national report this week that said the Patriots are aware of as much, and that's why they haven't been sending him out in routes as much. So I'm a little bit hotter on Martellus. I was actually somehow able to find him on waivers in one league this morning, and I'll go out a little further on a limb than JC. Tom Brady is my QB1 this week, and it's not particularly close.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Jets at Pittsburgh, 48 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 7. Guys, Le'Veon Bell looked perfectly legit coming back after the suspension. I'm firing up all of my Steelers because they look so good. And the Jets, yeah, they're pretty good against the run, but you can burn that secondary pretty bad. The Jets are allowing opposing quarterbacks to complete 71% of their passes, and now they get Ben Roethlisberger at home. JC, fire up all the Steelers this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, after what they did last week, they look great. They look terrible against the Eagles. I think what you saw last week is more what you're going to get. I mean, obviously, you're going to play Antonio Brown. If you have Antonio Brown and Tom Brady, you're probably in for a really good week. You're
going to that's another hot tip from JC. Yeah. Play Antonio
so
Brown.
So on the Steelers, a sneaky one, maybe Jesse James might not. You know, if you've got Jimmy Graham and he's off this week, that might be it. Or Kobe Fleener, then that might be one. On the other side of the ball, I wouldn't shy away from the Jets necessarily. I know Fitzpatrick has looked terrible. They're probably going to be down in this game, and they're probably going to be throwing the ball around. So I wouldn't shy away necessarily. You got Amira because Decker is hurt with the shoulder, so there might be some possibilities on the Jets side of the ball.
Yeah, I like the Jets call on that. Arthur, what about Sammy Coates? He's got the most receptions of 40-plus yards in the NFL, which is not something I expected, especially with the way Coates was going in the preseason.
Yeah, pretty awesome. I mean, he is your classic boomer bust player. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, not only does he lead the NFL in 40-plus yard receptions, he has 5 of them now. That, yes, that is more than Julio Jones. But maybe even more impressively, he has 1 in each game. So you're starting to see him build a little bit of consistency. You're starting to see the targets pick up. You know, you just want to get any shares of these offenses as you can, both Pittsburgh and New England. That's what I wrote in the column this week. Sammy Coates was also on that list. And Eli Rogers still banged up. Marcus Wheaton still trying to kind of work his way back into the circle of trust. And so until that happens, I think Sammy Coates is a real sneaky play. And you can't say enough bad things about that Jets secondary and the way that it's underperforming right now.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Washington at Baltimore, 45 is the over-under. Baltimore favored by 3.5. Guys, I've been waiting to spike the football on this for a couple of days. Last week, I said Steve Smith was going to have a great game. I got teased mercilessly about it. He goes out for 100 yards and a touchdown, and I like him again against Washington, playing inside on the slot. I don't think he's going to get trailed by Josh Norman. Fire up Steve Smith, baby. JC, where are you at on old man Steve?
You know, I think, to be fair, I think Arthur actually supported you. I was probably the one to tease you. You know, I think guy's 73 years old, but still, yeah, he's still their top option. I can't believe it. And now you have, with Forsett is gone, and you're going to have Terrence West probably. I know Dixon is a big hot play right now, but I think Terrence West, it's his job to lose for the time being. So I think this game, I don't love this game. I think it's going to be low scoring. The Ravens defense does not seem to be getting the respect it deserves. I said it last week. As an owner of DeSean Jackson, I can tell you for sure, you play any one of those Washington receivers, you're risking a shutout because you just don't know where the ball's going. You're going to play Jordan Reed. Of course, he's going to be, I think, 1, 2, or 3 on the tight end list almost every single week. But if those wideouts on Washington, I would be very careful with them.
Arthur, any other thoughts on this game?
Just that we obviously all need to be monitoring the Ravens backfield closely. Yes, it is Terrence West's gig for now, and certainly he deserves it the way he's been running. But Kenneth Dixon expected to make his debut and might seem to be a little bit better fit for what Mark Trestman wants to do offensively. So if you ran to the waiver wire last week to get Kenneth Dixon as soon as you saw he started practicing, don't panic and get rid of him just because West went off for 100 yards. It's the first time he had done so in like 25-something games in a couple different teams. So he's not exactly a beacon of consistency. And then just on the Washington side, JC's absolutely right, but certainly it was encouraging to see Jordan Reed finally reward the owners for the high draft pick with a couple touchdowns in a big game.
Yep.
All right, next game, Philadelphia at Detroit. 46 is the over-under. Philadelphia favored by 3 on the road. Guys, I know this is a fantasy football podcast, but let's stray into real life. Philadelphia, are they a legit Super Bowl contender as we're talking in early October? And then going back to fantasy, I don't love Matthew Stafford this week. I don't love Marvin Jones as I have in the past couple of weeks. And on the Philadelphia side, Carson Wentz has looked legit early on. So, JC, kind of your thoughts on this game.
Okay, so you can only go by what you see, other than the Rams, who I'm going to tell you, I still don't believe in them, no matter what the record is. But looking at the Eagles, they're playing well on both sides of the ball, and they're playing complementary football. They're not taking too many chances offensively. Their defense looks really good. Now, where they'll be in 10 weeks, I can't tell you. But right now, I do think you have to be careful. The fact that the Lions just were terrible against a very mediocre Bears defense. It played well, I'll give it that. But the Lions just really disappointed some fantasy owners last week. I don't know how you can be excited about Stafford or really anybody on the Lions. You're going to play Marvin Jones probably, right? But other than that, I noticed in our league, Arthur, that Golden Tate got waived. And I thought, well, do I want to put in a claim? And I said, no, I don't. So on the Eagles side of the ball, they spread it around a lot. They don't have a ton of options, but you are going to get Zach Ertz back this week. I'm a little wary of the sort of the Gronk factor, but let's just assume Ertz is healthy. He should get a lot of targets.
Arthur, you wrote after the Detroit Bears game that play your tight ends against this Lions defense. So are you rolling with Ertz this week?
Yeah, I mean, if I had him in any of my leagues, I would love to. I don't, but yeah, I don't think you need to worry about any rust because the Lions will be the ones that'll knock that rust off for Ertz because they can't cover the position to save their lives. 6 touchdowns allowed in just through 4 games. So yeah, Ertz is a solid play. Ryan Matthews, I think, is a really good play now, well rested and coming off the bye. And I don't know, guys. I'm confounded by the Lions right now. Matt Stafford, we can't just discount what he did for the better part of a season or 3/4 of a season before he really started laying eggs the past couple weeks. So curious to see how he responds. Detroit gets to return back home. They obviously need it. And it will be interesting. Golden Tate, too. He has not found a role in that offense since Marvin Jones arrived. But you have to think he's too good of a player to be held down too long. And he was benched last week. And Jim Caldwell normally gets good results after benching guys.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Bears at Indianapolis, 47.5 is the over-under. Indy favored by 4.5 at home. Brian Hoyer's looked real good, and I think Jordan Howard might end up as a top 2 or 3 running back this week against that leaky Colts defense. JC, where are you looking in this game?
Yeah, I like Howard a lot. We liked him last week. I had him top 10 last week. I have him again, which was a little more out on a limb than it is this week, but I have him top 10 again. The Colts are not great on defense, to put it mildly. As far as other Bears, you know what? Alshon Jeffrey, he has not had a rapport with Hoyer. Apparently, he's not 100%. But I would not be surprised if he scored this week. The news today that Kevin White has a broken leg and is probably done for the better part of the season, if not the whole season. You got to like Zach Miller in this one. Would I play Hoyer? Yeah, he's probably not going to get you great numbers. But if you need a 1 week streaming option, yeah, fine. On the Colts side of the ball, I like T.Y. Hilton a lot. He scored last week but didn't have a great week. Dorsett had one reception. It was long, and it was for a touchdown. I think he can play Andrew Luck with confidence, and I'd play Vinatieri. And those are the guys in that game I think could have some fantasy value.
Arthur, with Kevin White out, are you racing to go pick up Eddie Royal?
I did this morning, and now I'm feeling pretty dumb because he missed practice today with a calf injury. And on top of that, Zach Miller missed practice with a ribs injury. So we need to monitor this situation closely. If ever there was a time where the Bears needed Alshon to start being that alpha number one that we've rarely seen this season, obviously it's Sunday and a tough matchup versus Vontae Davis. But getting back to your original question, John, yes, I like Eddie Royal. I've liked a lot of what I've seen from him. He looks like the guy that Ryan Pace gave $10 million being guaranteed to last offseason, but obviously a little troubling that now he's hurt at the same time as seemingly everyone else in that passing attack. So something to monitor closely. John, what do you think? Is there any guys we haven't mentioned here that you like in this matchup?
Not particularly, but if Royal and Miller are hurt, I like Howard even more. I think that they would just turn around and you could see potentially 30 touches for Jordan Howard, which would just be outstanding and really puts him in the conversation for RB1 for the week, I think.
Does anybody think Langford is going to get his job back?
When he gets
I don't either.
If Jay Cutler's not safe, if the QB1 isn't safe, I can't imagine the second year running back who didn't do much to get that title is going to be safe. But we'll see. They're going to need him down the road. It's a long season, but it's Howard's job until he does something to lose it.
I'm hoping to see my first Howard jersey this weekend. Yeah, okay. That might be a sign that he's coming along.
Guys, he looks like the real deal. Just for one second, since we're giving Jordan Howard love, it's warranted. And I know some of us have been excited about him since that pick was made, a fifth rounder out of Indiana. John Fox made a Steven Davis comparison this week. That's a guy who he got a ton of mileage out of back in Carolina. And I like the profile of a power guy who gets stronger as the game goes on. And that really lends itself to what John just said. If they need to lean on this guy 25, 30 times a game, I don't think they're going to hesitate to do so. It's not sustainable, but it'd be fun to see if he can handle that kind of workload and what he does with it.
Here's the bad news, Arthur. Once Fox compared him to Steven Davis, Michael Westbrook flew in and beat up Jordan Howard.
So just quite a callback there.
Oh, yeah. I go back a long way, guys.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. And while I was busy spiking the football on Steve Smith, this is Atlanta, Denver. 47 is the over-under. Denver favored by 5.5 at home. I said last week that Matt Ryan was going to get slowed down by the Carolina defense.
So I thought
that's the same thing. That's why you tune in, right? Yeah. So 500 yards later, including 300 by Julio Jones. So much for that call. On the other side of this game, guys, the Falcons have allowed 3 passing touchdowns every week, but we don't quite know who's going to start at QB for the Broncos. So, JC, where are you looking in this game?
Well, I don't think it matters. I think Paxton Lynch is a really good quarterback. He's going to make some mistakes, but I think he could put up some good numbers, at least as good as Simeon. So I wouldn't worry. If you're looking for a one-week fill-in, either one of those guys would be okay with me. Lynch looked very efficient and threw a touchdown pass. He looked like he knew what he's doing. I'm so disappointed as a Bears fan that the Bears didn't get him in this draft. And you know, this isn't the Bears podcast, so I won't get into that. But I think Paxton Lynch is fine. I really like the Broncos in this game. They should be able to move the ball pretty easily. I like Brandon McManus. Now, what I don't know is we're going to have to figure out, is Carolina's defense really sputtering this bad, or is Atlanta's offense really that good? The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, and what they're going to do, this is an irresistible force and an immovable object, and I think you got to play your Falcons and just hope that they can keep it going. Broncos defense is really good, though, but so I would downgrade Falcons, but I wouldn't push them out of my lineup.
So I'm going to double down and say that Matt Ryan gets slowed down this week. I might be playing with fire, but
450 yards, right?
I like that call better on the road at Denver. Arthur, what are you doing with your Falcons this week?
Yeah, I'm a believer in this offense. I'm not a believer in the Falcons because a lot of people want to forget they were 5-1 last season and that didn't turn out so well. And a lot of people want to ignore that they don't play a lick of defense. But as far as that offense goes, I think it's for real. I think it's sustainable, and I think they do what no team has done over the past year plus, and that's go into Denver and really produce on that Broncos defense. So I've got Matt Ryan as my QB7. Obviously, that's he probably should still even be higher, or he would be in any other week, but with that Broncos defense, and I've got Julio as my WR2, and Freeman and Tevin Coleman are both up there as well. I'm grateful that we're going to get to see this matchup when both of these units are humming as well as they are right now. It should be a lot of fun. It's the one I'm most excited to see this weekend.
This all comes down to if Denver can put Ryan on the ground. If they can, he's not going to have 500 yards of passing. If they can't, it's going to be a long day for them.
All right, guys.
And fortunately, Kyle Shanahan does have the offense that is going to try not only a better offensive line in front of Matt Ryan, but that boot rollout offense that's, you know, kind of designed to try and protect him against that dangerous Broncos pass rush. So should be a lot of fun.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's move on to a game that doesn't have a lot of fantasy goodness. Buffalo at Los Angeles, 39.5 is the over under with the Rams favored by 2.5 at home. JC, I mean, what are we doing with Todd Gurley?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you had Todd Gurley and you could trade him and got reasonable value in return, I would recommend it. I'm going to just say this out front. I'm not a fan of the Rams. I'm not a fan of their defensive coordinator. I think they're undisciplined. I do not think they can sustain this. They've always played Seattle and Arizona fairly tough. And they did that this year. If they were 3-13 at the end of the year, it would not shock me. I would get rid of Gurley. There's no one on that team I like. I don't even like their defense. Yes, it hits hard. Yes, they're dumb as a box of rocks. They're ranked 23rd. I think that's probably about where they're going to finish. And I just don't have any faith in the Rams at all. I have Todd Gurley in one league. I picked him very high. I'm not impressed with what I'm seeing. I know they're 3-1, but I think it's smoke and mirrors right now.
Arthur, anybody liking this one?
Well, I'd rather just hear what JC really thinks about the Rams. Can we do that?
I'm sorry. That is a strong opinion, I know, and I apologize for it in advance, but we'll see how it goes.
We don't apologize for strong opinions right, on this podcast. All right, let's move on to a game that actually might have some fantasy goodness. San Diego at Oakland. 50 is the over-under. Oakland favored by 3.5 at home. JC, you and I were talking about this before the show, but shout-out to Rich Rebar at RotoWorld. Just 20.5% of Melvin Gordon's rushing attempts have gained 5 or more yards. That is the second lowest rate for running backs with 40 or more carries. Only Todd Gurley has been worse. So, you know, Melvin Gordon is getting into the end zone, and he might against Oakland. This may sustain itself for another week. But I don't think Melvin Gordon's fantasy scoring success sustains itself long term. What about you?
Yeah, it's interesting. On Yahoo Sports Day, I saw there was an article that said sell high, buy low. And I thought for sure – sell high, buy low? That's right. Yeah. I thought for sure it was going to have Melvin Gordon sell high. And it was almost reverse. It had Terrence West sell high, and then it had Rashard Jennings, who I don't think you could sell for anything
now. How could you sell high?
Yeah, it was a disappointing column. Hopefully readers are not as disappointed with my stuff. so I looked at that. I think Melvin Gordon does worry me a little bit. San Diego does not traditionally have a great running attack. He only averaged a couple yards a carry last week. He did get in the end zone. He's getting in the end zone a lot. He had a costly fumble. It's a guy that if you could fleece somebody for, I would do it. I don't know if he's going to be able to keep it up. On the other hand, they get in the end zone a lot. He's catching the ball. I think he has 16 catches or something like that. So 13 catches. And I'm not totally down on him, but I think he's a good sell high opportunity here.
Arthur, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. You know, it's been a little disappointing. I guess disappointment is really the key word for this Chargers season thus far, and there's no sign it's getting any better. Lost Jason Verrett to what was reportedly a season-ending ACL tear today, so that's just absolutely devastating. I can't imagine a worse outcome through the first quarter of the season for the Chargers, but that's obviously good news for the Raiders, and whether that means Latavius Murray, I don't know. His workload's decreased in 4 consecutive weeks, so maybe it means DeAndre Washington, who's averaging more than 6 yards per carry. It certainly means that Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree and Derek Carr should all be able to sustain what they're getting done. I feel for Phillip Rivers and frankly for Chargers fans because they deserve better.
Hey, you know, I really like Crabtree, the 3 touchdowns, and he makes tough catches. He's a good receiver. If you've got him, that's great. He is another guy, though, that is a potential sell-high candidate. I think Amari Cooper, you know, I know Arthur and I feel the same way. He's a great receiver. I think he's going to wind up being the leading receiver when all is said and done. I'm not down on Crabtree in any way. Great play, put him in there. But, you know, after you score, have a week like you had, that's a good week to sell high.
It's not bad.
Now's the time.
Yep. Crabtree has been outscoring Cooper really since Cooper came in.
Yeah,
you're right.
For the most part, I mean, Crabtree. I know Cooper has better talent, probably, but Crabtree's been the WR1 in that offense. So just something to keep an eye on if you're still really high on Cooper.
And it's 26-20 in receptions, mm-hmm. Crabtree over Cooper, and it's 4-0 in touchdowns.
Yeah, so something to keep an eye on. I think that regresses a little bit back to a little more even, but Crabtree's been the guy in that offense. And it's still, until Cooper proves that, I'm still going to be a little bit higher on Crabtree. Let's move on to the next one. Cincinnati at Dallas. 45.5 is the over-under. Cincy favored by one. Guys, I like Jeremy Hill this week a lot. Dallas continues to bleed, giving up yards on the ground. And Gio Bernard is basically the passing down back at this point. So I really like Jeremy Hill. Where do you guys land in this game, JC?
Well, I like Jeremy too, except last week I said he scored twice, and he scored two less than that, two fewer than I predicted. He had 70 yards. He didn't do as well against a weak Miami run defense as I thought he would, but I do like him. He is the running guy. He's only, I believe, has three receptions for 27 yards. So he is definitely the running guy. Bernard is more out of the backfield. I do like him. I'm bullish on the Bengals, so I'm not crazy about the Cowboys this week. Elliott should be fine. But if Bryant doesn't play again, I don't think he's going to. I'm not sure that they're going to score a lot of points. Dak Prescott is kind of a marginal play this week. But I do like the Bengals. The Cowboys are probably outperforming their talent right now, and it'd be a good week to start your Bengals.
This seems like it sets up for a big week for A.J. Green. He's on the road, which he historically has performed better at. Arthur, anybody else you like in this one?
AJ Green is my WR6 this week. Obviously love him as a really, really strong play. I'm a little concerned, though, about this Bengals offense. Just not doing anything in the red zone. It looks like it's going to be at least one more week without Tyler Eifert, who suffered somehow he managed to hurt his back, although he hasn't returned to practice from the ankle injury. So I don't know if he fell down the stairs like, who was that? Was that a Bears quarterback, Brian Greasy? I don't recall.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Neither here nor there. I think we kind of hit
Michael
on everyone.
Westbrook. Pushed him down the stairs.
Two Michael Westbrook references.
Into Stephen Davis. It was just a mess.
Funny. I don't love those Cowboys pass catchers really against that Bengals secondary either. Maybe Jason Witten, but he's not anyone I'm getting real excited about for sure.
All right, guys. The Sunday night game, Giants at Green Bay. 48 is the over-under. Green Bay favored by 7.5 at home. JC, what are we doing with Odell Beckham? He has not performed up to expectations so far, to say the least.
Well, so what do you do with him? That's a great question. You have to play him, right? You got him. You're going to play him. You're not going to trade him because you're not going to get the value that you want. Now, if you're looking for a buy low candidate and you got somebody who's really frustrated, I still like him. He is extremely talented. I cannot believe he's going to let these cornerbacks trash talk him into a terrible season. I don't believe it. I think he'll adjust. I think the opponents have seen if you rattle him, then you can really shut down the defense. But I think the Vikings were going to shut them down whether Odell Beckham was rattled or not. They're not going to play the Vikings every week. I'd be patient. I'd hang on to him. I'd play him this week. I will say the Packers defense does not get a lot of love. They've been really tough, especially against the run. So I'd be a little, sit Orleans Darkwater. I put that right there with my
Tom
Brady. Yeah,
sit Orleans Darkwater.
Yeah, could you write that down, please? Yeah, that's very important. But yeah, so I hang on to Beckham. I think he'll be fine.
I wrote this up in my DFS column this week that I think my favorite contrarian option this week is Eli Manning and Odell Beckham, because Green Bay has been stellar against the run. You're right. They're allowing, I believe, the least fantasy points per game against the run. They're allowing the most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. Basically, they're a funnel defense. They're forcing teams to throw. Mm-hmm. I think Eli Manning can end up throwing the ball 45, 50 times possibly in this game. Arthur, where are you looking in Giants Green Bay?
Yeah, I have to say, if Eli is throwing 45 or 50 times, that's not good for the Giants, not with that Packers pass rush combined with the Giants offensive line. So, getting back to JC's, Odell is a good, buy low candidate right now. I'd say so if you have a good therapist to pair him with, but since I don't, I'm going to steer clear. I'm kidding. He is too talented, and I'm sure he will right the ship. I'm not sure it'll be this week because the Packers actually have reinforcements on the way, I believe. Sam Shields could be back for the first time since week one. Morgan Morgan Burnett could be back. So it seems like they got healthier during the bye, and that could be problematic for this Giants team that really is struggling these past couple weeks. On the Packers side, you know, it's going to be the obvious, you know, the likely suspects. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, of course, and Jordy Nelson is on a roll and should benefit from having that extra week off. And Eddie Lacy, obviously, I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know. So it'll be a fun matchup, but I wonder if there's something bigger going on with this Giants team, or if they're able to get it corrected. It's a pretty tough stretch they're in right now, and I anticipate they're going to find more tough sledding Sunday night.
Really interesting stat is Packers offense is currently ranked 29th in the league. I don't think it's going to stay there, but it is interesting. They have not put up a lot of yards.
All right, before we get to our bold calls, we will go over the last game, the Monday night game, Tampa Bay at Carolina. Carolina favored by 7, but really it's a huge question mark with Cam Newton. Whether he plays or not, he is still in the concussion protocol, missed Wednesday's practice. On the Carolina side, I think it very much all depends on Cam, whether he's in or not, whether you have to start Greg Olsen, but after that, I'm not sure you have to start anybody on that side. Tampa Bay, you know, Carolina's defense just got beat pretty bad, so Mike Evans and Jameis Winston sound like decent options this week. JC, where are you in this game?
Yeah, that's a good question. Can I defer to Arthur on this one?
Yeah,
first?
Arthur, go for it, man.
Yeah, you know, Jonathan Stewart, and I just want to quickly point out that John is such a pro as a podcast host that he did a little. He tried to buy JC and me some time by saying he was going to hold off on the bold predictions because he knows I haven't had one.
Just a reminder.
Yes, in the first month of the season. So I do appreciate that.
Honestly, that's what I was thinking about. I forgot who was playing on Monday night. Senior moment there. I'm not a senior yet, but still.
That's awesome. But, you know, JC said at the top of the podcast, actually, Derek Anderson looked pretty capable when he filled in for Cam Newton, and the Buccaneers defense has been anything but capable thus far. So, you know, Kelvin Benjamin is a guy that's going to be in your lineup. I think I have him as a WR. He should be a WR1 this week in the top 10. And Jonathan Stewart, I think, returned in a limited fashion this week. So obviously keep an eye on him. The one play I love on the Buccaneers side is Mike Evans. I think he is, I mean, this is obviously not going out on a limb after watching what Julio Jones just did. But I think Evans is poised to explode, and he's my WR5 this week. Jameis Winston, too. Looking at the way things have been going for that Carolina defense, this could be the week that Winston gets right as well.
Yeah, don't be afraid to play Charles Sims. Again, right now I think we've got to go with what we've seen, and that's Carolina's defense is really not that good. So look at this as an average to above average matchup for Tampa Bay. I think Derek Anderson will be good. I like Arthur. I like I like Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen.
You like Arthur, too.
I do like Arthur. He's a nice guy. But Kelvin Benjamin, if I had Arthur on my fantasy team, I would start him. Probably a kicker, but I'd still start him. So anyway, I think it'd probably be a reasonably high-scoring game. I think Derek Anderson will be fine. I get the feeling he is going to start, too, but obviously you got to monitor that.
All right, guys, let's get to the bold calls. I'm going to lead off with mine. I sort of teased it a little bit. I think Odell Beckham ends up as a top three wide receiver this week. I think he is in a similar spot last week to Julio Jones, guy we were down on, guy we were questioning, playing what we thought was a good defense. I think he's just in a great spot, and everybody's down on him. So certainly I'd roster him at DFS as well. JC, do you have a bold call this week?
Yeah, if you can let me have a little latitude here. I'm going to do two.
All right.
All right, quick ones. One, I'm going to say the Bears special teams or defense scores this week against the Colts. And two, I think that Rams-Bills game will wind up being well over the 40-point over-under. I'm going to guess it's going to be over 50.
Wow. That's a high-scoring game for Rams-Bills.
Yep.
Then. All right. That is bold. That's what you tune in for are some bold calls. Arthur, let's close up with you. Do you have any bold calls this week?
I do, and fortunately it's not Demaryius Thomas like I've used the past 3 weeks when I have been caught like a deer in headlights. At least he's had a couple of good games. But, guys, I like Ryan Matthews a lot this week. I think I mentioned during the Eagles-Lions matchup preview, he's obviously coming off the bye along with Zach Ertz and has had a chance to get healthy. We know all we need to know about this Lions defense, and I think some people are a little concerned, maybe Ryan Matthews owners that are, That is, after they saw what Wendell Smallwood did, after they saw what Darren Sproles did. But I just have a feeling that Matthews is going to come back and be the guy. I have that feeling because Doug Peterson has said he's still going to be the starter. But I suspect he's going to be fresh and goes off for a real big day. I have him as an RB1, but I could see him finishing in the top five among all at his position.
All right, that'll do it this week for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. For JC Talon and Arthur Arkish, I'm John Solly. Stick with us at profootballweekly.com/fantasy for all of your fantasy football advice. And join our Facebook discussion group. We've got some good discussions going on start, sit, and trade advice. You can find us on Facebook, Pro Football Weekly Discussion Group. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.